Psalms 103 this morning, Psalms 103 in your Bibles, and we will, in just a little bit, also look at Hebrews chapter number 10, so if you want to find your place there as well, but we'll spend most of our time in Psalms chapter 103, and aren't you thankful for what Christ did for you? And if you've never received Him as your Savior, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not a Christian. He still did it for you. And he did it for you, whether you accept him or you reject him. But I would urge you this morning to accept Christ as your personal Savior. One day, this world is all going to be, it's all going to be over. And there's only one or two places your soul will live, and it's heaven or hell. And it'll be, no man will get to heaven because of a church. There's not one there now who's there because of church attendance or church membership. Anyone who's in the presence of the Lord is there by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all come by the same way. So whatever your background, whether it's a church background, a non-church background, a Baptist background, a Catholic background, or whatever background, nobody gets to God the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I trust that you know that this morning. We've been in a series on mercy, and I remind you that mercy is just simply not getting what we deserve. And when it comes to our sin, it comes to our need of a Savior, it comes to righteousness and justice and judgment, may I be the first to say this morning that I'm glad that I have not gotten what I deserve, and I'm glad that I'm not going to get what I deserve, and that we all should feel that way because of God's mercy. Look with me in Psalms 103, and we're going to read from verse number 8. Down through verse number 14. Now, we don't always do this, but I want you to read the passage with me this morning as I read. And so some of you, you should have had an extra cup of coffee so that you could follow along. You should have remembered your glasses so you could see the scripture. But we're going to read verse 8 down through verse number 14. So you read it along with me as Psalms 103, beginning with verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. I want you to keep your Bible open here, and we will refer to Hebrews 10 in a few moments. But this morning I want to, as we continue in this series on mercy, I want to preach on this subject, mercy and forgetting. Mercy and forgetting. What I mean by that, we're going to look at the fact that God, we often relive that which we need to be forgiven for, but God doesn't relive it. So I want us to think about mercy and forgetting this morning. Father, I pray that you would use your word. May the Spirit of God speak to hearts. May we be helped today. May we be strengthened today. May the Christian get victory in their life today because of what is preached this morning. And Father, if there's one unsaved, may today be their day of salvation. I pray for the other services that meet at this time, our Spanish ministry, the children's ministries. And Father, if there's one in need of salvation, may today be their day of salvation. May we as Christians determine to live victorious lives because of what you have done for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we as people, we are very familiar with forgetting certain things. We forget names. Now, it's not good if it's your kids, but we forget names. I'm one of those people that I don't always remember a name, but I will remember a face. And maybe you're that same way. Some of you remember names that it's not their name. It just depends on the person, the situation. But we can forget somebody's name. We can forget appointments that are set. And you can set a doctor's appointment, and by now, you set one today, you can have it in a year and a half from now, seems like, but you forget. Sometimes you forget where you put your keys. You forget where you put your phone. You forget things like that. But there are some things we don't forget quite as easily. We don't forget pain. We don't forget embarrassment. We don't forget failures. We don't forget regrets. We don't forget words that were spoken to us in anger, or perhaps words that we spoke in anger. We don't forget those moments in life that we wish had never happened. And I believe one of the greatest struggles for Christians today is just simply this. They know God has forgiven them. They know God's forgiven their sin. They know God has forgiven their mistakes. They know God has forgiven their failures. But they have not stopped reliving what God has already forgiven. Maybe this morning you would say, I know the verses, Pastor. I can tell you the verses that remind me that salvation covers all sin, and salvation does cover all sin. Friend, there's never been a man existed, no matter how vile or wicked, that's ever done anything that God cannot forgive. There's no sin that's been committed that God's Son's blood does not cover. And you can quote that, those verses, and you could give that message to somebody else so that they might be saved. You understand it. You believe it. You remind yourself about grace, and you maybe your life verse is, for by grace are ye saved through faith. You understand the grace of God. But when it comes to emotion, it comes to your spiritual life, it's as though we live as if we're still under condemnation. We revisit old failures. Well, you go to town to where you grew up. You like to see maybe where you went to school or where you used to live or things like that. But what I'm talking about is we revisit in our mind those places that we failed. We revisit in our mind the day that we struggled. We revisit all of those things. We replay those old chapters in our life. You know, as I preached last week, that mercy, we have those chapters in our life that we're not proud of, and it's our failures and it's our shortcomings. And when we put the mercy of God, He writes context into those chapters. But yet we can still just open the book of our life and skip all the good things and skip all the context and just live in those chapters of failure. Maybe this morning you carry that old guilt. With all of this in mind, then perhaps you have a conversation with yourself. You wonder, well, how can I really move forward in my Christian life? How can I really get victory if my mind, I can't help it? And maybe you say, Pastor, I don't try and live there. It just seems that that's a default with my mind. It's a default when there's any struggle, or there's a default that when I say, hey, I want to move forward for the cause of Christ, I want to do more for God, it just seems like, and we can blame the devil, but really many times it's just us remembering what we are, remembering what we did. How can I do more for God? Pastor, you preach it and you encourage us that no matter what's in the past is in the past, but when I try and take that step forward, it just seems like I'm frozen because my mind goes back to the failures of those chapters, maybe even before you were saved. Maybe it was after you saved, but you were away from the Lord, or maybe you were plugged in serving the Lord and you had that failure, you had that fall, you had that shortcoming. You seem to can't be able to get over it. How can I move forward? Let me tell you why we feel that way. Because we imagine God looks at us the same way we look at us. We imagine God looks at us at the way the Pharisee who passes condemnation looks at us. We think God sees us the way our mind sees us, and we know it's in the past, we know it's forgiven, we know it's covered up, but yet when we look in that mirror, that's what we see. We see that chapter. We see that failure. We see those things. And we say to ourselves, well, what's the use of being faithful to the things of God? What's the use of trying to serve? This is who I see myself as. But let me say to you this morning, God does not see you the way you see yourself. See, this is how we think sometimes in terms of God. We think God has his angels at work in heaven keeping files on every person. Sometimes the way we think is to portray a God who is in heaven keeping records of every failure and every fall. Or he's keeping score this morning and you hope you end up on the right side of that score. Or some maybe just think that God's up there waiting for the right opportunity to bring up every failure in your life again. But friend, nowhere in the Bible will you find that being a picture of God. In fact, we read this morning, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. See, God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. He knows all things. You can't hide anything from him. He knows what's in the past. He already knows what's tomorrow. He knows all things. Nothing slips his mind. So what are we talking about this morning? What we're talking about is God chooses not to continually hold forgiven sin against his people. God refuses to continually relive what Christ has already paid for. Simply put, he chooses not to remember. See, let me say it like this, and we'll get into the outline this morning. Mercy remembers differently than you do. See, you remember all of these things, and God's mercy doesn't remember that. It's not because it didn't happen. It's because God chooses not to remember it. Let me say this morning, first of all, that mercy does not deny sin. It just simply removes its charge. Mercy does not deny sin. It removes its charge. And I think one thing that would do Christians well and do our Bible-believing churches well is if we would stop acting like we're not sinners. Now, don't come in wearing your sin on your sleeve to church, but let's just get something straight. From the pulpit to every person in here, we are all sinners. And hopefully you're a sinner saved by grace this morning. Nobody's perfection. Nobody's without failure. Nobody's without shortcomings. Nobody's without weakness. Mercy does not deny that we are sinful creatures. Because of God's mercy, it just removes the charge. We read this morning in verse number 8, a description of our God. The Lord is merciful and gracious. The psalmist here is describing God's character. More than this is what he does, this is who he is. And it's because of who he is, we receive mercy. See, mercy is not occasional with God. Then David says in this same passage of Scripture, he reminds us, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Notice this morning what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not pretending sin never happened. Sometimes we as Christians act like, boy, I'm saved by the grace. Aren't you glad that God covers all the sin? Now, I didn't have any, but aren't you glad? Now, I'm not saying this morning we should dwell in our sin, but let's just be honest. Everybody's in need of a Savior. Yes, everybody's a recipient of mercy. You might say, well, I'm not a church-going person. You need mercy just like this pastor needs mercy. Everybody needs mercy. And the difference in those who said, hey, I just want to serve the Lord in my life, and those that don't, is maybe we have a different understanding of what mercy is. And I do believe this. I do believe there's a lot of saved individuals who want to do more for God, but yet they live in those chapters. They live in those failures, and they cannot connect God's nature and God's character with the reality of not just who he is, but what he's done. He's removed the charge. Yes, you sinned. Yes, you failed. Yes, maybe you did something horrible, and there's no denying that. But by the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, God's mercy steps in and removes the charge for that. Mercy's not denial. Mercy's not even rewriting history. Well, this is not this morning, and you know this, I'm not preaching this morning. Well, just go do whatever you want to do because of God's mercy. Mercy is not saying there's not right, there's not wrong. In fact, mercy does not come into play until you fully acknowledge sin. Because if there's no sin acknowledgement, mercy cannot be mercy. It cannot do what it is designed to do. It cannot remove that offense. See, in verse number 10, if you want to look at it again, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I think that's pretty astonishing. Can we say that God sees perfectly? God sees completely? He sees clearly? And aren't we good at giving excuses to God, not just in what we can or cannot do, but as it comes to our own sins? Well, it's like, I know He forgives, but. I know mercy's real, but. But God sees us as we really are. Can we agree on that this morning? He acknowledges that He knows our sins, and He's not rewarding us according, but He knows our iniquities. He doesn't deal with His children according to what they deserve. Why is that? Is it because God's soft on sin? No, He's not soft on sin. The Bible tells us He poured wrath out on sin, but that sin was on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, God does not have to, He can apply mercy to our iniquity and sin because Christ has already paid for that. The book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 reminds us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. How many of you are saved this morning? You know you're on your way to heaven. You're a recipient of mercy. I got good news for you. There's no condemnation on you today. Oh, you say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I did. I don't know what you did. I don't want to know what you did. I don't need to know what you did, because God knew what you did, and He still sent His Son to pay your sin debt, and there's no condemnation on you. Why? Because Christ has already paid for that. Justice was satisfied when Jesus suffered your death in hell. See, might I remind us this morning that mercy changes the relationship? See, before you were saved, you were racking up a pretty big account. Well, Pastor, I was saved as a child. Well, yeah, you're probably a devilish child. I mean, you can go to hell from the church nursery just like you can go from the gutter. But see, God, we had a debt that was being charged up in sin that we could never pay. And let me just help you with this morning. I know there's some Christians, can I say to you today, quit trying to pay installments on a debt that's already been paid off. Christ canceled the debt when He paid it. And there's a lot of Christians in their mind, you think, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, like you're making installments on a debt that you can never pay. Friend, this morning, if you've never accepted Christ's payment, there's no way you could ever pay that debt. You could take all the money in the world, you could take all the good works in the world and throw it at that debt, and it's like the U.S. national debt. It ain't ever getting paid. But aren't you thankful there's a God in heaven who sent His Son? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, just put all that debt on Me. put it all on me and I'll wipe it clean. I'll pay it all. And friend, this morning, if you are a recipient of Christ's grace and you've put your faith and trust in Him, that mercy steps in and says the account is settled. Thought number two this morning, truth number two we get from this passage, and let me say, mercy removes sin farther than we can reach. Let's be honest. Sometimes we know that God's taken away, and we try and go dig it back up. Look at verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. You know, if you were to start traveling east and never stop, you would continually be traveling east. Oh, well, hold on, Pastor. What if I start traveling west? If you start traveling west and you never stop, you'll be traveling west continually. So as far as the east is from the west, you say, Pastor, I'm confused. Me too. I don't know how far that is. I just know east and west, if you go in those directions, you'll never run into the other one. Think about what God is saying here. He did not say north and south. Because if you were to travel north, and you get over the top of this globe, and by the way, the world's not flat. Just thought I'd throw that in there. If you get over the top of the globe, eventually you're going to start going south. And likewise, if you fly south, eventually you're going to go north. He said, as far as the east is from the west. What is He illustrating? That it is removed forever, so far away that you can never find it. I think sometimes we think that mercy, while we sit in our living room, our sin is in the room next door. Sometimes we think when we enter one room, sin is following us behind. I'm not saying we don't have a sin nature still. I'm not saying that we're not sinners. But what I am saying is that sin that condemns us is not with us anymore because mercy removes it. Right. Maybe you'll say this morning, Pastor, I still remember. And that's true. God never promised you and I we'd lose our memory. He just promised He'd remove the condemnation. You may remember. But He's no longer charging. He sees, you may remember the chapter, but that's not how God sees you. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19 says, Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. The Bible gives the picture that that's where your sins are, in the depths of the sea. And might I say, God never goes fishing there. He never goes fishing there. Isaiah 43:25 says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. And He says, and will not remember thy sins. You may remember them, somebody else may remember them, but the God in heaven does not remember them because He's blotted them out. Why is this important? Because that mercy removes what guilt continually tries to resurrect. See, as a Christian, and we understand that God forgives sin and God forgives you and I, and we're unworthy of that. And by the way, if you say, well, I didn't have a church upbringing like you, and I wish that, well, that might be true. But that does not mean you don't have a God in heaven who has chosen to not remember, to blot it out. You are down here remembering and you're reminded and you may be dealing with consequences of it, but in heaven it is blotted out by the blood of Christ. When God Himself looks at it and says, I don't know what you're talking about. It doesn't mean it didn't exist. It doesn't mean that you didn't do it. It doesn't mean that you didn't live in that situation. It just means that He removed that. He won't remember. And it doesn't change the fact that something happened, but it removes the guilt. Guilt is always trying to resurrect it. Guilt, if I can illustrate it this way, goes around trying to dig up. See, some of you, we all have a problem with guilt from time to time, but some of you are living there. guilt is owning you. It's not God's consequences that's keeping you from being happy. It's not God's consequences that's keeping you from moving forward. It's guilt. And that guilt is not coming from God. The Spirit of God convicts. It convicts us when we've done wrong. He convicts us when we're not right, to bring us to a point of decision. But if you are living, and many times we're not living in conviction because he's not bringing us to a place. He brought us to that place to receive Christ. We are living in that place of guilt. See, Pastor, we're not supposed to feel guilty. Well, let me put it like this. If God himself said he took your sins and your transgressions and your iniquities and cast them into the depths of the sea, remove them as far as the east is from the west, where does guilt play into this? It's always trying to dig it up. You can get up in the morning and say, aren't you glad his mercies are renewed daily? And then we let guilt go digging around the house. We let guilt come to the altar and say, where is it at? Where are those transgressions? And by the way, let me help you this morning. Guilt knows exactly where it's buried. This is what many need to realize today. Guilt can go to that spot. Guilt can get its shovel out. And guilt can start digging. But let me tell you what guilt will not find. Guilt will not find that sin. Guilt will not find that transgression. Because when guilt wasn't looking, mercy snuck in and took it and left with it. Mercy came and took those transgressions and left with them. And guilt can look and look and look. And that's why your soul's in turmoil. That's why your spirit's turned up. Because guilt's still looking and guilt can't find it. Because mercy has removed it. And what you need to do this morning is push guilt aside and say, what am I worried about trying to find it? I know where it is. Well, Pastor, where are your sins? They're in the depths of the sea. Where are your sins? They're as far as from the east as from the west. And let me tell you, that's where your sins are as well. Truth number three this morning, mercy understands human frailty. We see in our psalm in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. This is God expressing a love and an understanding, that pity. I understand what I'm dealing with. Well, what is he talking about? Look at verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. You may like to portray yourself as perfect. God knows you're not. You might like to portray yourself as super Christian. God knows you're not. Pastor, I failed. Aren't you glad God knows what you are? But you're a pastor. It must be different for you. You're a pastor. I'm still dust. He remembers what we are. Well, Pastor, I was saved for 30 years and I messed up. God knows. Aren't you glad he remembers what you are? Now, this morning, we ought to do our best not to fail. We ought to do our best not to backslide. We ought to do our best not to sin. And there's things that God commands us. It's as simple as not doing it. But when we fail and when we mess up and we sin, aren't you glad you got a God that says, yeah, that's not right, but I know who I'm dealing with. It's like you have a six-year-old boy. You give him a job to do. You don't treat him like he's supposed to be a master craftsman. Well, you give him a lawnmower, And he's 6 years of age. You don't scold him for not having straight lines. It's a victory if he doesn't cut off anything. It's a victory if there's no ER visit. But how foolish would it be? How much of a taskmaster would it be for somebody to treat that six-year-old child, expecting them to be and do something they had no capability of being? Aren't you glad our Heavenly Father, when we fail and we fall, He doesn't cover sin except by the blood of His Son. He doesn't pretend it never happened. But He looks at us knowing that we have this old sin nature. We live in this old sin-cursed world. That we have these temptations. He remembers what we are. That's why mercy is so valuable and important to you and I, because mercy understands our human frailty. I think we might need to be reminded this morning that He remembers what you are. He remembers your dust. He remembers your weak. He remembers your dependent. Again, this is not excusing sin, but it's just explaining compassion of our God. Friend, this morning, He knows your limitations. He knows the pressures of this world. He knows your fears. He knows your humanity. Sometimes, if we're honest, we may be shocked by our own weaknesses. But can I tell you, God's not shocked by your weakness. He knows our frame. He knew every weakness before He saved us. He understands our human frailty. Let me move on. Number four. Mercy gives freedom to move forward. Hold your spot here in Psalms 103, but if you want to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10, I'll read two verses of Scripture here. Hebrews 10, as we consider that mercy gives freedom to move forward. In Hebrews 10, verse 17, if you're not quite there, you can catch up when you get there. In their sins and iniquities. All right, we've seen that in Psalms 103, haven't we? Will I remember no more? You know, so we have documentation by the psalmist David. Now we have documentation in the book of Hebrews. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now I said truth number four is mercy gives freedom to move forward, to get past your failures, to get past your weakness, to get past your mistakes. Now understand something. As we read verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now look at verse 18. Now where? Okay? Something is changing. We're seeing that sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where? Remission of these is. There is no more offering for sin. That's not saying that God is not still saving people. God is not still forgiving people. That is saying your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Why? Because there's been remission of sins. They've been covered. They've been washed by the blood of Christ. So there's no need to offer another sacrifice for them. And you need to understand this, especially if you grew up in a Catholic church or a Catholic-type church. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You don't have to give penance. You don't have to give an offering. You don't have to pray the rosary. You don't have to hope you're going to get there, because the sins and iniquities that God knows we have, He sent His Son to pay for those sins. And once remission has taken place, there's no need of an offering. So therefore, because of that, we have freedom to move beyond our sin. We have freedom to move beyond. You say, well, Pastor, after I was saved, I fell flat on my face spiritually. I can't move forward. What do I need to do? Let me tell you what you need to do. You don't need to come pay penance to the church. You just need to ask God to forgive you. Then get up and move forward. Why? Because Christ doesn't have to be crucified again for you to get past that. There doesn't have to be some sprinkling for you to get past that. The Baptist preacher doesn't have to even give you a blessing to move past that. You just got to get up and say, God, I'm sorry, and move forward. Why? Because it's already been paid for. Mercy was never meant, and it does not exist, to leave you stuck in yesterday. Mercy is there to get you in today and tomorrow. And if we would be honest with ourselves and remind ourselves we're just sinners, and as a sinner, I'm never going to get to where I really want to be. Now, friend, that's not an excuse. That's accepting reality. Because right here, what I'm telling you is because Christ paid for your sins, you don't need to stay in yesterday. And quite frankly, you shouldn't stay in yesterday. That's why, and as your pastor, many of you have had this conversation. Yeah, you messed up, you got it right, but we're not having this, well, I just can't serve, I just can't do anything else. Oh, no. You're not going to feel very comfortable here because I'm going to tell you, that's already been forgiven. Christ doesn't have to be crucified again. There's no offering that's got you have to pay. Get up and continue moving forward. Why? Because it's all mercy. You don't have to convince me that you're not worthy of it. I know. You know how I know? Because I'm not worthy to serve him. You're not worthy to serve him. Nobody's worthy to serve him. But because now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Mercy is saying you're allowed to move forward. You're allowed to pick up the pieces and go. You're allowed to still speak my name. You're allowed to still serve. In fact, you should because of this. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. Let me say what this does not mean. It does not mean Paul lost his memory. I believe Paul remembered his past. I believe he remembered persecuting Christians. I believe he remembered carting them off to jail. I believe he remembered all of that. You say, well, what does he mean, forgetting those things which are behind? He refused to live under that which had been forgiven. You may not remember those chapters in the, you may remember those chapters in the past. You may remember those failures in the past, but don't live there. Because mercy has stepped in and said, move on, move forward. And if the Apostle Paul, who murdered Christians, if the Apostle Paul, who closed down churches, could say, I know what I am, but by the grace of God, the mercy of God, I'm forgetting those things which are past. And yes, if the devil brings them up, my memory brings them up, I'm refusing to live there. See, mercy will not tell you that you can change yesterday. But mercy says this morning, don't live in yesterday. And there's many of you, I believe, you would get victory in your Christian life. You could serve God in a way you would not even imagine if you would take what I'm preaching this morning and would really grab a hold of it. Because it's not the fact that you're a sinner keeping you from moving forward. It's the fact that you're living in your failures. And God's mercy today says you can't change it, but you don't have to live there. You can't change it, but don't stay there. Because there's no more offering for sin. See, there's too many Christians, you live in the old chapters. There, you live like your greatest failure is your complete identity. But mercy will not deny that chapter, but mercy doesn't say that's final. Mercy does not say that's the whole story. Mercy says you can move beyond that failure. You can move beyond that chapter. Because there has been the remission of sins. And friend, this morning, if you've yet to receive Christ because you look at everything that you've done, don't you think it makes sense to look to him today and say, I could never, the only way I can pay for this is to burn forever in hell. But you mean that God's Son, Jesus Christ, paid that debt for me? And all I have to do is accept that payment for my sin? Absolutely. And if you're here this morning and you've done that, and if you would be honest with yourself and say, Pastor, I know there's some things I'm not proud of. Let me tell you this morning, you can keep bringing them up in your own mind, but God doesn't know what you're talking about because he has chosen to forgive them. And it's time for you to stop living there and let mercy back the moving truck up, get in and move forward and leave all that behind. I'll conclude with this final truth. If we go back to Psalms 103. Wonderful passage of scripture we read, but I want us to look at verse number 1. Before we even get to verse number 8, where we speak of the Lord as merciful and gracious, He remembers our frame, He remembers we're dust. He removed our transgressions. In verse number 1, right out of the gate, David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." David is in a worshiping mood. David is praising God. You say, why is that? Was David just that kind of a guy? Well, God certainly put a song in his heart. But if you know the story of David, David did not live a trouble-free life. Truth be told, David lived a very troubled life. And if we isolate King David, if we isolate just David and Goliath and say, I'd like to be David, oh, for that one moment, that triumph. But if you take the life of David, I don't know if anybody in their right mind would say, I want that life. Because as soon as God anointed him, all the forces of hell worked against him. But what does he say in verse number 1? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, why could he say that? Because mercy changes the atmosphere. You know, the atmosphere of your marriage would change if it's not about the wrong, but it's about the mercy and the grace of God. The atmosphere in your heart would change if we were reminded of the mercy of God. See, mercy transforms. See, mercy takes shame and makes it gratitude. Please pay close attention to me. That shame that we have that comes from the result of our sin, our iniquities, our failures, can transform to gratitude when we keep that clear picture of, in spite of what I am and how I failed and what I deserved, thanks be to God and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we've all been saved out of sin. Nobody has been saved out of perfection. Saved out of goodness. We've all been saved out of our sin. We need to take that shame and make it gratitude for God's mercy and God's grace. Nobody in here deserves salvation. Nobody in here deserves to even hear the message, but yet God has allowed us to hear the message of grace and mercy. Mercy will take fear and make confidence. Well, Pastor, I would serve, or I would move forward, but I'm afraid people might find out that I'm a sinner. I need to break it to you this morning, and I know I'm going to do it in front of everybody, so I hope there's no embarrassment this morning. We know. You know why we know? Because we are too. The secret's out. I don't want to alarm you. Don't look, please do not look around when I say this. Do not look around. But you're sitting next to a sinner. And yet, there are some of you that look right at the person next to you. You're sitting amongst sinners. You heard sinners sing this morning. You're listening to a sinner preach to you this morning. A sinner opened the door for you when you walked in. A sinner taught your Sunday school class. A sinner is watching your child in the nursery. Those children are sinners in the nursery. We are nothing. There's no, say, when do I get to a place where I don't have any sin and I can serve? Friend, you'll never get there. Because we are doomed in this flesh and this failure. But this morning, mercy comes in and says, the fear of my past and the fear of those consequences can turn to confidence this morning. No matter what your sin is, you with complete confidence can say, I will not have to give an account of that, not because of my goodness, not because my sin was less than somebody else's, but because of the mercy of God. It's His nature. And He has made these promises. And let me just say, in spite of my sinful condition, I can be confident in what God has called me to do. I can be confident in serving Him. I can be confident in moving forward. That condemnation that we live under becomes worship. You know what's true about forgiven people? They become grateful people. And if you're ungrateful for what God's done in your life, it's because you've forgotten how horrible your sins are. You've forgotten how precious the blood of Christ is. You've forgotten that you needed grace and mercy just like everybody else. See, look with me, verse number 1. You see it right there? Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know it's important that we see what God put there? But it's also important to see what God didn't put there. He didn't say, punish yourself. Oh, did He say, is that what's there? He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He didn't say you had to work the debt off, did He? He just said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Because mercy changes the story. Verse number 2, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Forget your strengths, forget your failures, forget your weaknesses. But don't forget His mercy. This morning I conclude with this, and I'll just kind of encapsulate everything this morning. There's probably some in here, you're carrying things that God already forgave you of. Your load doesn't have to be as heavy as it is, because God already forgave you of it. You've continued reliving moments that God's mercy has already covered. Why don't you pull the fishing rod out of the depths of the sea this morning, where God buried your sins, and stop looking and start rejoicing. You have that weight this morning because, you know, you just feel, I know I failed and I want to be right and I understand God's mercy, but I feel like there's something I have to do. How about worship? How about praise? How about moving on? No, you don't have to pay some penance, but because of what God has done, because of His mercy, it's okay to worship Him. It's okay to, as a matter of fact, it's not just okay, it's what should prompt us to praise Him. You say, what is it about those old hymns singing about the blood of Christ and Calvary and all of that? That's a gratitude that builds up in here because you know it's because of the cross. You know it's because of the shed blood. I'm unworthy to speak His name, but because I can, because of His mercy, I'll sing those praises unto Him. I will worship and glorify Him. Maybe this morning God is saying to someone in here, quit trying to reopen that which I've closed. Stop trying to repay what Christ already paid. Stop defining yourself by those chapters that God's already forgiven. And let me help some of you. God saved you out of some things. You say, Pastor, if I'd have grown up in a Christian home, it would have saved me so much. Well, we can't go back and change any of that, but let me tell you, you're saved by the grace of God. You're just as worthy. You're just as valuable. You're just as precious to the God of the heavens as the person who doesn't have any scars of this world, the person who doesn't have any visible things that you notice for hardships of this world. Friend, not in your own pride, but you walk in the doors of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, you hold your head high. Not because you're worthy, but because you've been forgiven. Because you're a recipient of the same mercy that the pastor's a recipient of. The same mercy the Sunday school teacher's recipient of. Let me tell you, I don't look at somebody and feel sorry for them. Oh, look at what they've been through. I get excited. Look at what God's brought us all through. Look at the goodness of God. And this will help you this morning. When people see you and know what you've come from, you don't have to print a t-shirt with all your sins on it. The people just see a changed life and see what God brought you through. It's a reminder every time they see you. It's a reminder every time a tear runs down your cheek. It's a reminder every step of growth. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. A church can't do that. A man can't do that. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Justice was satisfied. Forgiveness granted, and when all that took place, condemnation was removed. Might I remind us what I started towards the beginning with? Mercy remembers your story a lot differently than you do. Sometimes we remember things differently than they happened. Sometimes we remember things, you get to a certain age, that didn't even happen. We say, Pastor, I hear you, and maybe you're just going to dig in this morning. Maybe you're just going to stay in that valley of despair and feel sorry for yourself. And you maybe that's just you're just going to do it. I know what I've done. I know what I am. You say, well, Pastor, you weren't there. You don't know what I did. You don't know how bad I feel about it. You don't know all of those things. I was not there. But can I tell you, there's a God in heaven that says, I was there. And my mercy was there. My grace was there. So quit living in despair. Quit living in your past. And this morning, let's say, if it has been, my sins have been redeemed, then I can move forward this morning. Mercy and forgetting. Forgetting. You don't have to live in those bad times. Well, if you would capture and ask the Lord to help you this morning, when those memories do come up, it would just, instead of the tears of sorrow and guilt, there might still be the tear, but it'd be, man, isn't God good? Those tears of and those excuses of I can't do anything for him. I can't move forward. It turns into, man, look at what I get to do for God. Look at what I get to do for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody else may know what I am. Nobody else may realize what he's brought me from. But I know where he brought me from. I know how unworthy I was. And his mercy is so good. His mercy is so great that when I, in my sorrow and my self-pity, almost in anger and frustration, say, God, why are you giving me another chance? Don't you know, remember what I've done? As the old song goes, what sins are you talking about? He reminds us, I buried those in the depths of the sea. They're as far, matter of fact, they're so far away, you can't measure how far they are. And friend, may we forget, and may we move forward. There might be a young man, young lady, you know there's something that God wants more for your life, but what I'm preaching this morning is the exact thing from keeping you from a full surrender. You're afraid that there's something holding you back. Let me tell you this morning, as I understand mercy and I understand the blood of Christ, there is mercy that you apply to that. God's forgiven it. Maybe there's a young couple. There's something the Lord is in, and you're just floundering, maybe, or there's just some things that are you're holding back because there's a mistake. Friend, I'm not sugarcoating the mistake or the consequences of them. I'm just saying this morning, we have a God in heaven who's merciful that says, "I don't even remember what you're talking about. I've forgotten about it. Don't live there anymore. You're not going to have to pay a penance to move on, because Christ's blood covered it all." Oh, let's do business with God this morning. Friend, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? You say, "Well, I'm 50-50 on it this morning, Pastor." Nobody's getting into heaven 50-50. But there'll be a lot of people who go to hell 50-50. That does not mean you have to go there, but this morning you can know for 100% sure that you're saved, you're redeemed, you're on your way to heaven. In just a moment, we're going to have our invitation. The piano's going to play. We'll all stand together. Our heads will be bowed. There's Christians this morning that should come. You say, well, Pastor, if I come on a sermon like this, then people are going to think I'm a sinner. We've covered that this morning. People are going to wonder what I've done. Probably won't compare it to what you've actually done. Why don't we just do business with God this morning? If for no other reason you come and say, "Thank you. Thank you." There was a day when the old saying, "If I darken the door of a church, the roof will fall in." But now my praises are with the praises of the other redeemed, trying to blow the roof off because of the mercy of God. If you're not saved this morning, let me tell you what could happen in your life. You could come down the aisle this morning, let somebody open their Bible and show you what God says about His salvation. After hearing what is said this morning, I can't understand anybody not wanting that mercy. Because if we're honest, we know what we are. But to think that God doesn't know me up there like I know me down here. What a God. What mercy. Father, we come to you today grateful.